Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Well, as we've already heard, The Last King of Scotland is all about the dictatorship of Idi Amin in Uganda during the 70s. Interesting the amount of titles that he gave himself. He called himself the President for Life, Lord of all the beasts of the earth and fishes of the sea, and of course, the last king of Scotland. At one stage, the country's government-controlled newspaper, The Voice of Uganda, even published calls for him to be called the Son of God. During that time, of course, the Christian church endured persecution on a horrific scale, and those horrors and others were documented by two British journalists, one of whom joins us now. Dan Wooding, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much.
You had quite a radical transplant, I believe. You were taken from the buzz and comfort of being a Fleet Street tabloid journalist in London to the scene of a massacre in Uganda. How did that come about for you?
Well, it came about in a pub in London called The Stab in the Back, and I was a backslidden Christian working for the Sunday People newspaper there. I did crime, religion and show business, which was often interconnected, as you can imagine.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
And I'm a pastor's kid, so my dear old dad was shocked that his only son had become a tabloid journalist, and things had gone really bad for me. I was doing a lot of showbiz interviews, but I was also doing a lot of criminal stories, and I was starting to get death threats from various underworld groups in Britain. My wife then was getting death threats, and I just lost my faith completely, and I was in a bar in London called The Stab in the Back, which is a wonderful name for a journalist pub, completely drunk as usual and just absolutely desperate to try and get my life sorted out. And this friend of mine, Ray Barnett, who had what I call a ministry of rebuking, I don't know whether you know any Christians like that, but he was just very concerned about my spiritual state, and he came in and he said, "Look at you, Dan. You're drunk as usual, and you're wasting your talents on writing these ridiculous tabloid stories." And then he said, "I'm going to ask you to give your life back to Christ and then give up your career in Fleet Street. Come with me to Uganda, and let's write the story of these incredible Christians in Uganda that survived the Idi Amin's Holocaust." And then he added something I'll never forget. He said, "You won't get paid, and you'll probably get shot at." And I thought only a Christian could come up with a deal as good as that. But believe it or not, within a few days, I'd left my career in Fleet Street. I was at Entebbe Airport with Ray. The airport was just shut up. It was an incredible mess in the country. Something like 500,000 people had been slaughtered by Idi Amin and his gangsters. And among those were about 300,000 believers. And so we had a publishing company called Zondervan. They had asked if we could put a book together for them called Uganda Holocaust. And so we began to meet these extraordinary survivors of Idi Amin's Holocaust there. Some of the most amazing Christians I think I've ever met.
Well, tell us about the church in Uganda. How was it being persecuted?
You know, their courage and faith was extraordinary. You talked about Idi Amin's insanity. You know, he would regularly get on The Voice of Uganda, and he would say that Allah had suddenly told him which groups had to be shut down. And so he'd go on and say, "Okay, Allah's just told me to shut down the Baptists and the Salvation Army, and you're closed." And we went to a church one day that had been shut down. That was the Makeri Full Gospel Church, and Allah had apparently told Idi Amin to shut them down. So they just changed their name to the First Full Gospel Church of Makeri, because Allah hadn't told him to shut down the church with that name. Because
Wow.
He didn't believe it. And
it's unbelievable.
When we got to the church to do the story, it was just covered in bullet holes. And We asked the pastor what happened, and they explained that they were having a Wednesday night worship service, and being a Pentecostal church, they were dancing around, and suddenly Amin's troops come in, start shooting up the place, hundreds of bullet holes all over the church, and then they arrested 200 members of the church, took them to a place called Nakasiru, which was the torture center, and they were going to burn them all alive. And it was just incredible as they were sharing this story with me, and I said, "What happened?" And they said, "Well, they began to praise God for the privilege of being able to be martyrs for Jesus." I'd never met Christians like this. Mm. And then they began to pray for their persecutors. Well, to cut a long story short, the man who was due to sign their execution order, and they were going to be burnt alive with petrol just poured all over them, had a terrible car accident on the way to sign the execution order, and he broke both his arms and both his legs. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. So they went to prison instead, and that Sunday, Ray and myself had the privilege of being with him in this bullet-ridden church, no electricity, and they, one by one, the 200 came to the front. First, they'd just been freed from prison, and the first thing they did was thank God for their liberty. The second thing they did, which really blew my mind, they began to pray for the salvation of Idi Amin.
Wow.
And I thought, this is incredible. You know, the sort of Christians I'm used to, they don't pray for their persecutors, they get even with them.
Yeah.
And this was a, and you know, it was there in Uganda that I just said, Lord, whatever time I've got left on this earth and whatever talent I've got. So it was Idi Amin, of all people, who, without realizing it, changed my life.
And Dan, what kind of bloke was Idi Amin? What was he after, if you were to interpret his life now a few years down the track? What was he after? What was driving him?
Well, you know, he was a very strict Muslim. He was being funded by Saudi Arabia and by Libya. They were pouring millions of dollars in to try and set up the Islamic State of Uganda. And that was the problem, because the majority of the people there were not Muslims, they were Christians. And so this very demented, dangerous, vicious man, he just did all he had to do to keep the paymasters happy. But there was another side to him. Although he was a strict Muslim, he would have whiskey and all sorts of booze flown in from Britain to keep his murderers happy. And so this was going on all the time, these killings were going on. Idi Amin was flying in all this booze, and they were all getting drunk, and probably that was why they were able to do such horrendous things. When I was researching the book, I remember going to a place in London, a solicitor's office. He'd been the former foreign minister of Uganda, and the receptionist was Idi Amin's first wife. And I remember the story that he'd had one of his political opponents beheaded, and he'd left the head in the fridge. And this poor woman that greeted me at this solicitor's office there, she was the very lady that found the head in the fridge.
Unbelievable. Have you visited Uganda since then, Dan?
Yes, I've been back there. And last time I went, I took a pastor here from Southern California, and they had a gun battle going on outside the house we were staying in. And he just wondered what he was letting himself in for.
And you're feeling like you've gone back to the past.
Well, you know, there's lots of problems still going on in Uganda. But I also had the great privilege of interviewing Museveni, who's the president of Uganda. And it was just fascinating to see. You know, he wasn't elected to that position. He was, like most of the leaders of Uganda since independence, he seized power. But him and his wife seem to have done quite a good job there in trying to stop the violence, although they've had this crazy group there called the Lord's Army.
Mm.
But the one thing that has now hit Uganda is the HIV crisis. So the Holocaust of Idi Amin is gone, and now they've got the HIV Holocaust that's just sweeping across.
It's just continual problems and challenges for them, isn't it? For the people of Uganda.
The country was called by Churchill, the Pearl of Africa, and sadly that pearl's been very badly tarnished.
That trip obviously changed your life. It strengthened your faith. I mean, it rekindled your faith. It re-energized your faith. How would you say you're different as a result of those years that you spent over there, or that time you spent over there in Uganda during the years?
One of the big differences is that it set me on a road to start meeting some of these great heroes of the church around the world that I'd never met before. You know, they don't have PR people. I was in Beverly Hills a few days ago at the Christian Oscars, interviewed a lot of celebrities, and, you know, it was all sort of a bit ridiculous, really, when you think of it. You know, here's a red carpet at a Christian event, and, all the celebrities are there. But, these are people who are unknown, that we've never heard of. They have no publicity campaign, and yet these are the great heroes of the church, the unsung heroes, and these are the ones that I try and get stories about. There'll be lots more Idi Amin's, tragically, around the world, And I think we as Christians need particularly to fight on behalf of our persecuted Christians. Something like 200,000 Christians this year alone will be murdered for their faith. And probably, if I ask listeners, give us the name of one of them, you probably wouldn't have the name of one of them even. And yet these are happening every day of the week. Christians are getting killed around the world, and we as the church now need to start being more concerned with them than we are about sort of little petty things that we are involved in. We need to realize this is life and death for these people, and they need our help and they need our prayers.
Yeah, nicely put. Dan Wooding, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. That's Dan Wooding, the author of Uganda Holocaust and founder of the Assist News Service. He's written another 41 books, his latest an autobiography called From Tabloid to Truth.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.